I wasn't quite ready. I wasn't harnessed up. Okay, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we ask you to be with us, through us, and that you will speak here to us, all of us together, and give us the grace and the power, the overcoming power, the witness of Christ here today as you minister to us and make a strong impression and mark upon us, lay your hands upon us, that we will receive from you and that it will never be forgotten. Lord, bind these words here this weekend and what's coming yet, that you will bind that upon us, that you will work in our hearts for weeks and days until it's accomplished what you have asked that you want to see. And Lord, we thank you for that. We trust you. We present ourselves before you. We deny ourselves and let you have it your way. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I start, I'm just going to say a few words about South Africa. When we were there in September, they were building the mission house, and we helped clean up the church house and paint it and get it ready, the bottom part where they have church in now. And they called it, changed the name to the House of Prayer. I said, I'm fine with it as long as you live it up to it. And so anyways, afterwards we were talking individually with the leadership and talked to Delani and Asibo that are living there. And she said she saw me do something she never saw me do before. I said, what's that? Said, I never saw you work before. Ouch, that's my point. I was always there preaching and getting ready for that, and Jeff Yoder was usually doing the work, and so I admit to that. But this time I was helping, doing stuff, and that meant a lot to them. So I'm just saying that's part of missions, that they see that we're willing to do what we ask them to do. You know, so I feel that was a very good takeaway for us. And they didn't say they never saw Luella work, because that would have been a lie. She works. And so they're living in the house now, right there in the village, and there's a lot of contact, a lot of interest again. And there's a girl that came that they used to work with when they were pastoring in another village. She had backslidden, and she came for repentance and prayer and to restore her life back to Christ. And so it seems a positive thing. So there's a lot of those things that are going on that is necessarily not a thing, but it's not necessarily something that there's a big story about. But I'm hopeful. Jeff and Asibo are going in mid-March. The March will be there. And so hopefully, and maybe me and Lola will be back there in the fall sometime. And so anyways, that's part of the work that's ongoing. And hopefully that will be a fruitful work from now on. It was very important for them to... am I cutting in and out? It affects my... I don't have my phone. Sometimes when it's in your pocket, it doesn't like it. Where do we... Up here? No. Because it's interesting, when it cuts out, it seems like somebody... But no, the work is ongoing, and there's much more to be done. And we had a very good time while we were there. I was teach them some days, we work some days, and the greatest thing, I guess I shared this again, I shared it in the minister's meeting, but one day we were talking about paint and getting paint, and the paint issue came up, and Jeff told me what brand to get, and they misunderstood it. And so it was language problems and paint problems and brand problems, and we got into a very confusing situation. We didn't even understand each other anymore. It was the Tower of Babel or whatever. It was like, what are you talking about? Instead of, all of a sudden I realized we were not understanding each other. They said there's no paint in town. They don't have that brand. We could get it elsewhere, so we decided to get it elsewhere. Then they said, no, it is in this town. And then we called one of the men again and said, you know, go there and pick it up. You can stay out there in town. And then we said, no, don't do that because it's in this town. And finally I said to, okay, shut everything down. We're not doing that tomorrow. We're not going. We're just dropping it. And Tuesdays and Wednesdays we dropped it, and they came down to the house where we were staying, and we had a teaching for them. And the next day, me and Lola ran out to town and got the paint. It was all settled. It was done. But when we left that place, I looked at Lola and said, what was that? I never saw such a confusion. I know why church split over paint now. Or carpet, or whatever people say. Anyways, so, and then the next morning I said, I'm going to apologize right away as they're sitting here. And I said, I'm so sorry about yesterday. I apologized to him. And before I could even stop talking, the CEO goes, hey, wait. We're sorry too. Said, after you guys left, we looked at each other and said, what was that? I think the devil took advantage of a loophole that we created, and we didn't fall out with each other, but we surely didn't understand each other. I was willing to pivot from my idea and change the course, and it settled everything in that period of time. And by Thursday evening, we had the building painted. And so when there is a confusing situation, are you willing to pivot, to look, not compromise, but pivot from your ideas? I tell you, it taught all those things in life are for to teach us for the future. And so hopefully, yeah, that was weird. If there's anything weird, that felt so off. Anyways, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, always abounding. We want to change course here a little bit. And again, very similar to everything we were talking up to now, I build upon things. And if you would give me a whole 2 weeks, I would build upon it. I don't know how high the building would get, but that's normally what I do. I work off of what we just preached. So it's very helpful if somebody was carried through the whole thing that way. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you take notice there in 58, therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, It doesn't say become. It says be. You know, sometimes we want to give ourselves time to change, but here it is. You be that. You're supposed to be that because our victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our labor is not in vain. Sometimes some of the things we went through in life, some of the things that are displeasure to us, and I want to believe there's some things maybe in vain. You know, we said the truth, we talk, we cancel, we work, and yet it seems fruitless. But here is when God says it's not in vain. Your labor. And sometimes our labor is just hard. But be ye steadfast, always unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is so good. I like this type of stuff because the Bible is very steadfast. It is very much unmovable. We have to come to that place of surrender and giving ourselves to it. That's our moving to it. Then we can rest in it as God has given us that victory. And so it's not because it says be and not become. The work of the Lord is not worthless. Whatever you are asked to do, do it carefully and prayerfully. You might not understand what you're all doing. God will need that which you are doing. When God asks you to do something, because he needs that to be done. You imagine if there would be a stonemason here, and you would be given the specs to carve out this stone. You would do it. You have these stones. They are given specs to carve it out. Somebody else comes along and picks up those stones and delivers it to a project of a stone house they're building, and they fit right in place. You know, what you were doing seemed useless or worthless, but yet there was a building going on, and the builder knew what he needed, and you were the guy that was chipping away at a hard rock. But it was a place where it fit in. And you look at this great building and think, wow, that's beautiful. So what is your part in building of the kingdom of God, the church? You know, maybe your family, your children, the work that God has given you to do, it seems a little fruitless. I would rather do that part. I would rather put that last stone in there and say, it's finished. But here I am with a couple of chisels and a hammer and blisters. Is it even going to get where it's supposed to? You know, sometimes we work with people, we pray with people, we ask God to do something, and yet we're wondering if it's taking any root. And yet God is saying, that is what I ask you to do. And I tell you, one thing I learned over the years is when God asks me to do something, do it with all your heart, and the results are not your business, in a sense. You want it. You want to do it right so the results can be right. But we're working with people, and people have a choice in the matter. They can reject it. They can might not do it. But sometimes what we're doing, 25 years ago in March, we would have left here for Africa for the first time as we moved our family there. Sometimes you wondered. Sometimes you didn't. We had good times and bad times. But what was my position in that? I had to remain faithful. That was my position. Not everybody remained faithful in that work. But I have to. We have to. I'm preaching to you too. We have to remain faithful. If we know our victory in Jesus Christ, we can do that. We can keep abounding. always moving forward in the work of the Lord. The 10 virgins, the story about them. There were 5 foolish and 5 wise. In other words, there were 5 prepared and 5 not. They looked the same. They were all same in virgins. They were all same in how they looked. They all had lamps. They all had everything together except one thing was missing, the extra oil. You imagine today in our culture, I'm carrying this extra bottle of oil. And nowadays, people are very quick to say, well, we're all the same. We believe the same. We have a lamp. We have light. And why are you carrying that extra bunch of oil? You know, are you religious? Sometimes those things wear on us. Why are you still doing that? Why don't you? I mean, that's foolish. You feel that way sometimes. Sometimes you feel really foolish. But you know it's right. In the end, they had the oil, and it was too late to go and buy others for the others. There's a day coming that judgment will come, and I want to be prepared with everything God has promised us for our life. Everything. And so keep that in mind as we go through here. Because we want to always abound. But we got things to do, take care of. You know, it doesn't make sense. But what happens when the real, I think of a snow blizzard, snowstorm back in 96. Our neighbor was a charismatic preacher. He had left his wife across the road and moved in with another one. And Luella had, he got stuck in the snow. We had 3 feet of snow on the ground at one point. But 2 different snowstorms that week. And he got stuck, and Luella's all, you know, she gets any challenge, lights her up, except a few. But the snow does not challenge her. She loves it. And she went and helped him, pushed him out of the ditch, and helped him get back in his car. And he said to her, now, this is what you call tribulations. My poor wife had no idea. She said, why did he say that? What does that mean? I said, it's not tribulations. It was just stuck in snow. But those are things that we can get carried away in our own ideas. And you know, when tribulations come, it's something else. It's not a snowstorm. And sometimes, you know, people try to predict the end times. I'm not going there. But we are in the end times. I'm going there. But so whatever happens, you know, it's when we think ourselves, this is not really a trial. But let's be always abounding in the work of the Lord with the joy of the Lord. And I appreciate that about my wife. She has been very helpful in that area to be see it a little different than I do. Faithful and steadfastness. You know, I was looking at some of these words, unmovable. We use the word steadfast. And, you know, to be, I am here in this life, and this is where I'm at this point. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable. With steadfastness, there's another thing I'm going to bring out versus stubbornness. I could really prove I'm really steadfast. I don't move. Or am I stubborn? I know stubborn people, they don't move. Is it steadfast? Is it faithful? If it's in the Lord, It is based upon Christ, His word, His life. If it's stubbornness, it's based upon my preference. Remember, is it really biblical or is it, this is the way I want it? And you can't move me. One thing I learned, I was very bashful when I was most of my life. And one thing, it's not true in every case, but sometimes I think I was really stubborn. You know, when the teacher told me to read louder, I did not. So I'm willing to say I was a little bit stubborn, or much, doesn't matter. But steadfast means in the Bible, I don't know where I got that. Is that in there? Yes, it is. Be steadfast. Okay. The Greek means seated, fix. It's not sitting down and doing nothing, but that's how you are seated. You are in it. You're not, you know, this is where I am. I plant myself here in this belief, in this work, and I'm seated. You're not moving me. I'm not looking for another place. I'm here. And that is the steadfastness that we need as we go out in mission fields and such, because everything's going to be thrown against you. Sometime when we first got there in the early years, I thought we were supposed to meet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and 5 o'clock came around, I'm sitting there by myself with my family. Nobody came. 5 o'clock came, finally they staggered in. And I was thinking, big deal. If it's over, I'm going home, all the way back here. I said, okay, there's nothing happening. Then things started picking up, and it was always a problem with being on time, and I'm a time person, so I had to die and die and die. That was weekly, every church service. Till I found out that they do, the money comes in, the welfare come in on a truck, ATMs on a pickup truck, basically made type of truck. But then they meet somewhere in a village and they would get their money. And they were sitting there. He said, they get together early mornings. I said, did he make it in time? You know, I'm the pastor here, and they're not making it. He said, oh, yeah, they're 2 hours early for their money. You can guess what I did. I had a great sermon coming up. And we started on time from then on, and they love worship, and if they missed it, it changed rapidly. In the meantime, I was hearing all these voices in my head of all these people that warn against. The African people don't have time conscious like we are, and you can't mess with that. So I know I can't touch that, till I could. I did. I mean, sometimes you had to deal with all these things that other people are telling you, and the reality in front of you was opposite. And you had to work through all that and to bring that out. But they're very much changed in that area. God always works. Every work of God begins at the altar and the cross or prayer. When I ask for God's best, I have to die to my best. When I realize I need the Holy Ghost, I must die to what keeps the Holy Ghost out. It's simple. It is real. When I ask God for His best, I must surrender everything of myself that I think is the best. And when I ask for the Holy Ghost, I must die to what keeps it out. The Holy Ghost and gifts are needed, very much so. And raise your mind from all you hear about the charismatic circles and the falseness and the fakeness. Yes, It's out there. But again, there's a real work. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us. It's not weird. It is symbol, the power and empowerment of Christ through a person. The work of Christ is to make disciples. And as we work, we need to be steadfast, stable, established, fixed on the gospel, what it is, not looking for the next high. You don't get highs. And that's almost like the culture is today. We're looking for something. You have a great worship service. We can all jump and dance. And that's great. Holy Ghost was there. How do you know? Did it change you? I'm not saying you can't jump and dance. But I tell you what, there is something that must come out of that is fruit of a changed life, a life that depended upon Christ, not upon the worship team, not upon the preaching itself, but upon Christ. There in Africa, there's a lot of preachers that fleece those poor people from over here. They preach, if you give, you will receive. And those Africans are vulnerable for that. It made me so angry over there, because when they were telling me stories about these American preachers on TV, it was like I wanted to come home and pull the plug that it can't affect them anymore. But yeah, you pay $10, you can give, we'll pray for you. And they didn't have it. If you give something, you get more. So a lady had a sewing machine, and she paid all her life to get a sewing machine, all her money, to get a sewing machine to sew stuff to make money. And this is a story. I don't know it personally. And so she said, well, if that works, then she'd give her sewing machine away to the ministry so she can get more than that. And so she was out of work, out of money, out of things to do. Can God do miracles? Yes, He can. But you don't tempt God. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. That is so good. As you go through, sometimes you wonder if it's going to be, is it in vain? Is it fruitful? But do not give up in doing what's right. Read your word. Study it. Know it. It didn't change. Everything else is changing rapidly. People's opinions are changing about God. But it is not changing His word. Stay with it. Don't run after all the new translations or supposedly translations, because they're changing the word too, but stick with the, I'm not stuck on one version, but be safe. 2 Peter 1, I'm going to read a portion here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 8. According to His divine power has given us all things that pertain us unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I'm going to stop there, read on later. But He has given us by His divine power all things that pertain us unto life and godliness. You have everything you need to live this life, everything. It says it here, and I believe it. Sometimes we refuse it. We want our own way. But all things that pertain us unto life and godliness through Him, the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Thank God. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance, patience, to patient, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what will keep us abounding. Do we like all those things we add? That sounds good. We can print this on our poster or something. But diligence is eagerness or earnestness, virtue, moral goodness, knowledge, understanding, intelligence. Yes, that's also important. Temperance, self-control. Is yourself out of control? Self-control's virtue. Patience is words like this: cheerful, hopeful, endurance, and consistency. So a patient person is cheerful and hopeful. When I meet impatient people, I want to run from them. They don't appear cheerful and hopeful. Brotherly kindness, love of the brethren, charity, love and kindness. So as we see that, that's part of that. As we need to be equipped, we need to be armored for the work that God has for each one of us. It is not a simple thing. But sometimes we think, well, I want to go and do this. I have energy. I'm a youthful person. I have all this energy. That's good. But sometimes I always love older people. Now I'm coming close to that, so I hope I can be what I always wanted them to be. To be a blessing, to tell me about their experiences in life with God, to walk with Christ, and to help me become a person that can look back and say, it was done right. But I'm not talking against useful energy, but is it of the Lord? Is the Lord, am I equipped? Do I have self-control? Because if your desires for missions, what is it? Why do you have desires for missions, some of you? I appreciate that you do, if you do. But the church is mission. Your gifts and graces are not for you to become a star. You deny yourself and follow Jesus in what he has given you. You know, so many people, we want to become somebody. And I want to be a great, you know, we hear missionary stories. I know. I read all these missionary stories as I grew up. I never thought of being a missionary. And that would be nice to be like those people. They were powerful. They were effective. And that's intriguing. And I remember one thing I said to myself and to others over the years since that, I wish I would be like them. But I knew enough, I said it like this. And maybe I prayed it one time, but it convicted me afterwards. Something like that. I can't remember the details totally. I would like to be like this man, but I don't want to take the road he had to take to become that. Now I'm saying, if you want to become fruitful, successful in missions for God's sake, there's a road you will take. It won't be a shortcut. It won't be. So in those moments that you wonder what's going on, embrace it. Let God change you. Let him bring that self down, that he can fill you up with himself. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. This is interesting. You can almost say, oops, he's going to start bragging that he labored more than any one of you. But then he said, not I, but the grace of God. He does that two times. But that's interesting because it is us, in a sense. You see us, but yet we're doing it because of the grace of God. And if that is what's working through you, it will also minister that way. I can lie to you and say it's the grace of God. That might not be. But for us that we labor abundantly, yet it's not us. But yet it is Christ's grace in us, which was with me. And so keep that in mind because it's so interesting. We don't have to be ashamed of ourselves. Some of these anti-works people that are, oh, you're in works. No, I'm not. I'm in the grace of God. Didn't you work? Yes, I work because I have died to myself and Christ is now that liveth in me. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm not doing anything for brownie points with Christ. That is settled now because of his life through me, his Holy Spirit working through me. I now work abundantly and not guilty. I'm not guilty of religious acts that way. Keep that in mind. Fight back. There needs to be a voice again because this voice of the devil that's out there accusing everyone that does something for God, that was religious. If it's against the norm and it's back to the scripture, lift your voice and tell them, this is for Christ's sake. I am settled with Christ. I am seated with Christ. And now I'm working not to impress him, but because he has impressed me and filled me with his life. And now out of that life that I didn't gain by works, I now work it out of me for others to be benefited and led to Christ. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I don't want to be guilty of not doing that. I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say I received it of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't doubt that. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moths and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moths nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wouldn't it be nice? No, it wouldn't. No, I'm not going there. If I could see where your treasure's at. I don't want to, I hope by hearing you, being with you, hearing you talk, I hope I could, I probably could see where your treasure is at. Where is it? I want to ask you, where is your treasure? Where do you have it? Is it in Christ? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? There's only one way to do that, is to bring souls into the kingdom, one way or another. Maybe your work is just to pray. Maybe your work is to help that somebody else can do that work. All that. But in a church, we all reap the same. We are all together to proclaim the gospel. It doesn't matter who comes home and says 10 people got born again. We can all rejoice with that. Where are you laying up your treasures? Because your treasure is where your heart is. And it's a good one to look at sometimes. Where is my treasure? What do I like? What moves me? Like I said, I never thought of being a missionary myself, but yet that was something in the back of our minds. And when we were called to be asked to go, it was like an answer to prayers. I was just praying prior to that for years. Lord, if there's any way you can use me, use me. And that's how my condition was before I was called. I didn't pick out a nation. I didn't pick out a country. I didn't pick out a people group. And that's fine, maybe. But we didn't. We just knew when the call came. The picture I get, I was joyful, but my wife wasn't with us when that was said to me, when I was asked about it. But she walked into the room and we told her. And she lit up. That's the picture I see when I think back. She lit up like all the lights went on. She was ready to go right then and there. That was such a blessing. I didn't have to persuade her. She was going. You know, that's why we need to present the gospel here at home. If you want to ask her any question, my wife, what she does the first Saturday of the month in our suburb little town, she has about 10 children that she gathers up Saturday mornings and goes through the Bible story and felts and makes the snacks for them and play games and takes them back home at 11 o'clock, just an hour, once a month, whoever is available to come. There's always something to do if your heart is in it. That's not my heart necessarily, but that's hers. And I left her run that. I don't have a problem with it. It's like, but she gave herself to that. And that's just a simple thing if we think of what are you doing to abound the gospel. And one little boy, and part of that is not part of a church family, and his mom called us one day, and I thought this might be the end of it. Luella had taught upon, started in the beginning of the world, of the creation through, and the devil. And so she called Luella and said, what did you teach my son? He came home, he's scared to go to his room. He says the devil's in his room. I said, no. She said, Luella, is that what she taught? Yeah, that makes sense. She said, then Luella told her, a woman that doesn't go to church, she used to, they lost the child through death, through cancer. And that seems to have turned a little bitter. But Luella told her what to do, to go in the room with him and pray over the room and pray against the devil and ask Jesus to come in that room. And that settled it. We didn't go and do it. She told somebody else to take charge. And that was the mom. So anyways, there's so many things. You don't have to copy her. But there's so many things you can do. And we don't know how long that lasts. It's now years. We didn't know if it's going to fall apart. But it's now years, and she's Miss Luella. And And our neighbor lady had help with that in the beginning. She's very outgoing. And we learn from other people how they do in the city sometimes. That's why Luella goes to the house and picks up the children. They walk with her. And she takes them back home so she knows they're at home, that the responsibility has been passed on. Sometimes they say, I want to go over to my friend's house. Nope, you're going home first. Then you can do whatever your parents allow you to do. And so these are things, as we continue to expand the gospel, we will probably never know what that did. We will maybe never know until heaven what all that was about. But in church, how much is your encouragement worth it when you encourage somebody that's struggling? I don't know. But you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, and it's not in vain. You can't do what you're not gifted to do, but do what you're gifted to do. And sometimes we have to look down to find that gift. Because I can look down here and I see a little piece of dirt, but I had to bend down. I didn't get a ladder and climb up. I don't like heights. So those are things, as we give ourselves, and it doesn't matter what it is, because I died to myself. I want to be effective in the body of Christ and to bring in people into Christ, into his kingdom. And yet, am I steadfast? Am I settled on the word of God? Can somebody? The saddest stories I could think of is hearing of a missionary that went to India to preach the gospel of Christianity, and he himself converted to Hinduism. We don't want that. We need to be steadfast. We need to be settled. Because we need to have this yes or no here. There's a saying here from E. Stanley Jones. Your capacity to say no determines your capacity to say yes to greater things. If you can't say no and order your life accordingly, you don't have much authority to say yes to other things. If you're choking yourself and overcome in things that you shouldn't have in your life, and you can't say no to that, you probably can't say yes to much else. Our first call in life is not to change the culture. There is a Christian nationalism out there that I totally disagree with. But we are here to rescue the lost out of this world's culture. We are called to fight in prayer for the lost. And by that, influence the culture for the better. Some people try to pass laws that all these laws are, you know, the world is made up of Christians and heathens and Muslims and all that. They don't all agree. But we do can create a culture. But by forcing people into the gospel is not what Jesus did. But we need to be bold in presenting the gospel to deliver people out of the world's culture into the church. And so that is how you do it. Don't fall for this Christian nationalism. It is like, we got to pass laws and make laws, and they're out there pushing their point, arguing their point, defending. And I saw the ugliness of that, and I don't like it at all. Because people, we can't force people. Am I against abortion? Yes. Do I believe they should have laws? Yeah, I don't agree with abortion. Do I believe that a sinner heart can be changed through that law? Not in itself. It's through Jesus Christ. So we have a job to do. Not go by the law, by the Supreme Court ruling, what marriage is. We, as a church, cannot compromise, cannot pull back, because the Supreme Court said this is how it is. Then the church follows suit. Gotta be kidding. But we're not. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, other translation, it would say it a little different, but I'll try to say it the way what it looks like it means for sure. Here, we all know the sacrifice of praise. We offer up a sacrifice of praise. We're singing or praising or praying, and we offer up a sacrifice of praise. And that's good. But to do good and communicate, to do good to those that are in need, that is by our communication with them, forget not such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, we can all get the sacrifice of worship an idea, but some people love it so much it's not really a sacrifice. But this is a sacrifice, because when I see a need and I reach down and help somebody, communicate with them the love of God and help them out of their situation, that is something God is well pleased with, and I can guarantee it would be a sacrifice for most of us. Singing is not necessarily a sacrifice for all of you. I'm that bad at it, it would be one for me. My son tried to tell me, Dad, why don't I try to lead a song one time at home? I said, well, I'm in the ministry, I might as well learn how to sing. And I started a song at the kitchen table, and my son stopped me. He said, Dad, stop it, you're way off. That was the end. I think I can sing with people, but I can't sing. I can't start. I'm surrendered to that idea. You know, when we think about it, it always sounds good to be in the work of the Lord. I love to do the work of the Lord. Is that a right phrase? Let's try this a different way. I love doing work unto the Lord. It's better. Because I love to do the work of the Lord. Why? You know, I'm doing a great work of the Lord. I'm going to travel to Africa. I'm going to do all this. And I'm hoping you all appreciate it. You know, it's selfish. But if we love to do the work of the Lord, that's a little different than the other way of saying it. I saw that elsewhere. That's not made up totally by me. We're giving our life away. Whatever you do in your home, your marriage, in your family, your children, your church, any outreach you're involved in, you're giving your life away. And don't be embarrassed about that, because it's important. We lay down our lives, like it says in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their life unto the death. And that is so good. The blood. The blood is the highest authority we have to go to. I recently preached on the blood. I looked through my list of sermons, and I couldn't find one. I thought, wow, it's time to preach on the blood, because I need to have one of them. But, you know, sometimes when you plead the blood. And I thought, is that even in the Bible? It's not. But the sense is legal. It's a legal term, pleading. And so when we plead the blood, we use that term, we're taking this situation before to the highest power. You know, in court, they plead the fifth or something. They they can move on up through to be quiet, but then they can move on up to the Supreme Court, to the highest authority. The blood is the highest authority. When we deal with Satan and his antics, we complete the blood. We complete the case before the highest authority, the blood, where Jesus, to the highest authority, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That gave me a lot of comfort as we had dealt with many demonic things over the years. And I don't talk much about it because some people kind of lust after those stories. And I just want to warn you, don't do that. It's nothing. We have the authority to deal with stuff. And when it ever comes up, just be calm, deal with it, plead the blood. And by that, take it before Christ and let him deal with it. That girl we had 2.5 years ago over in Africa, that was demonic. If I ever saw something, if that wasn't demonic, I don't never want to see it. She was there, she was talking, she was running like a mad person. She could run. She tried to run after a vehicle. She could run. She was, her saliva was running, her eyes, I mean, she was wowed. But she had a soft spot in her heart for me for some reason. That was scary. She was a pastor. Yeah. She was so sweet with her voice, but I thought that was demonic too. I don't know, but I wasn't falling for that. But anyway, she got delivered, and to this day she's functioning correctly, which is unbelievable. But what happened? What was the turning point in that encounter with that demonic being? We were about 6 or 7 of us. We prayed together with her. We had to hang on to her. I had her 2 hands in my hands to control her. And I put her she was really small. So I put her 2 little hands in my big one so I could pray for her. And it seemed like in vain. She would struggle. She would fight back. She would, fire would fly sometimes out of her eyes, basically. She would be asked to surrender some of her witchcraft bands, and that didn't work. So I said, back off. And so we didn't. But anyway, something happened from that moment on. The presence of God came into that room. One thing I knew for sure, God was there. It's okay. And that's exactly how it played out. It was okay. Because slowly, every time we met her after that, we prayed for her. We went to pray for her again. She was getting better. And she would be a little different. And then she did surrender her witchcraft stuff. And we took it home and burned it. And from that point on, she was set free. And slowly brought back to real life and real function. Her mother, we met her here in September. And I didn't recognize her. Her mother came up to Lola and she just jumped up. She was sitting beside the road on a bank or something, and she just came and said, Luella recognized her, and she hugged her, and she was all excited because her daughter is functioning, working, a productive person in this world. And I'm not going to go further with that, but it's still to this day unbelievable. But the presence of God to pray together in unity. There was no shouting, but it was a sight. And I was probably as uncomfortable as it can make me. And yet I probably didn't show it, but it was like, what's going to happen? But when the presence of God came in that room, and there was a neighbor lady that comes to church, came with us that day. She met us. I'm going with you. Okay. And the next evening we had church service, and she was there, and she said to Luola, yesterday, in that room, in that prayer meeting, she said, we had church, and I was not going to miss church tonight. That was such a testimony. That was such a testimony. Because we were dealing with something that wasn't very friendly, but she felt the presence of God. And she knew what church was. She called it church. We had church. We were trying to cast out a demon, but she had church. That is, reframe your mindset to that kind of image. Because sometimes we think we have to shout and holler and make a scene, but God took over. She's not in the area. She's in Cape Town, but yet that's the story from her mother, she said she's going to send us a picture. I don't think we ever got one, but of her again. But she's Romans 12. I didn't read this yet. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, as brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. You imagine that day when you would be preaching to the people in that area and say, present your bodies a living sacrifice. They knew what sacrifices were. They knew what altars were. They knew what it took. They knew how they dealt with it. They killed the animal. And here somebody's preaching a living sacrifice. And that is a person that's alive, like a Christian, that gives himself up to be a living sacrifice. And in contact with that, we're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we may prove, which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you're looking with a worldly mindset, this is not for you, except the sacrifice part, until you come to that part. Because this is what has to happen, that you can know what's good, what's acceptable, and the perfect will of God. How do you give yourself up? To present yourself. It is up to you. In marriage, in missions, in the church, can I give myself to God in such a way that He reveals His plan and place for us? You can't. You cannot have Pentecost without Calvary. We're not of this world. We're all foreign missionaries on a foreign field. Right here in Cross Keys is a foreign field, because if you are Christians, you're not of this world. Your citizenship is not here. So today, I'm on a foreign field, and I hope you are too. A living sacrifice. I can imagine when the heat comes, when the fire comes, when the fire is burning up through and things are miserable, uncomfortable, am I going to stay steadfast, complete in Christ, and not turn away, not fall for the falseness, not fall for all this deception around us? If there's ever a day that we need the spirit of discernment, it is today, and I think it was always so, but today. When people can prophesy, make up stuff about you because they read your Facebook page and you think it was God, somebody is missing it. But hopefully we're not those. But by giving ourselves up to Christ, it's a living sacrifice. That's how we walk, because this world is everything that the world is against Christ. And so as we go about our work, our life, our witness, we work so we can continue to live out Christ here in this world. It's not to build ourselves a kingdom. It is to that we can give our life in a greater way for more people to be affected for Christ. It starts at home, it starts in a church, it starts in a workplace, it spreads throughout that, and it can go out to the corners of the world. I'm not a happy traveler necessarily. I traveled half the world, but I do it as a sacrifice. And it's getting easier, actually. The more as you surrender to it, that's fine. 16 hours on a plane is not... I call that a sacrifice. So you can judge that. But it's those things. We do it for Christ's sake. It's not to build ourselves up. In most cases, physically, we're worn out by doing it. And yet... there's a call that cannot be denied. And if you know what that is in your life, seek God. Know, what can I do yet in my lifetime that will impact somebody else? What can I do here in this church that will be a blessing and not a curse? We can all do our own agenda and ruin everything. But am I giving myself in a way? Am I asking God to cleanse me and purify me so I can be useful? Can I ask him to disciple me into a stable, dependable person that the church can depend on me? They know exactly where I'm at, what I'm doing. Does that sound like control? No. I'm not talking about the pastor telling you. I'm talking about yourself. Are you dependable? I often thought, I get into a pattern. I'm a guy with a pattern. I don't mind it. Some people hate to be called everything. You have to change your pattern every day. I don't. For years, I thought I went to the bank at a certain time of business, and I took the children to school and took my money to the bank and went up home in time to open the store. I thought if the thieves are watching me, they can figure me out in a week. They know exactly where I'm at. So... but I'm not going to change because of thieves. But spiritually, I'm telling you, that's who I am physically. But spiritually, we need to be those people that you can depend on. You know if you need them. You know where to find them. They'll be there for you. Be those people. Thank you again. I was here and appreciate it. Loved it. Thank you for your service here, the people that work here, male. Thanks for the water. I didn't even use it this time. Thanks for the work you did, the kitchen work, all those things. I noticed that because if I can see people serving joyfully, there's a potential for more. But if people avoid those things, there's really nothing more for you until you learn to give yourself, sacrifice yourself in giving. What if I'm a busy mom with a lot of children? Take care of your children. And if there's a little sliver in there you can do something else for somebody, don't be ashamed to do it. If you just have a smile for somebody else that you're fulfilled in your motherhood, be it. I see a lot of children here, and I love it. Our house is empty. We're enjoying the emptiness. We're joyful in that too. And so I just want to thank you again on our behalf, me and Lola. It was good to be with you. Good to get to know some of you new ones. And so God bless you. But what I want to see a fruitful church. And I believe you are, but I'm speaking from what we spoke today, that you're fruitful, you give yourself fully, you're not ashamed of the gospel. That's what the gospel is asking you to do. Lay down your life so Christ can be lifted up. And don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of what your calling is, what you can do. Do it faithfully, regardless if people think, you know, there's many stories about the symbol janitor. It looks like the lowest of the lowest. But I tell you, it's a job. And God has some for you too that are that way. There's a lot of little things to do. Even as a preacher, there's a lot of little things I have to do. I don't mind preaching, but do I do everything else before I get there? So be faithful, be steadfast, be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, because it will not be in vain. Let's all stand as I pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you again today, and we thank you for this time. And Lord, we ask that you will, in our hearts, that you plead us under the blood of Jesus Christ, that if we present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto you, Lord, that you will transform us from all the things in us that are conformed to the world, that you remove that from us, transform us to mindsets of Jesus Christ, that we have his mind now, we have his mind. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask you to continue to work through us and bless this church. Let them go on, and this teachings and discipleship, hopefully, we'll continue to go deeper as they teach more and talk more and visit more with this. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will continue to build this church on the solid foundation. And Lord, I have confidence standing here today. You have begun a good work, and you will finish that good work. And we thank you for that. Lord, let all these people that are here right now continue in that walk, and that you will bless them and build them up and raise them up to deeper things in life, in the spiritual life, in the spiritual realm, and that they are at peace with one another and love the brotherhood. Lord, we pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.